Hey everybody, welcome back. We've got another show today. So many important topics to talk about. Laundry, baloney. I made some new good friends at the gym. Or, you know, strengthen some old friendships. Some are silver, some are gold, Jim. A lot of great stuff. Met some neighbors. That's always a nice experience for me. I've never had a bad incident meeting a neighbor. So have a beer with me. Enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy this kind of show, I recommend listening to pretty much any other show. Because they're all better than this one. You're still here. We'll get started in just a minute. It's been a week already, huh? Can you believe it? Can you believe how fast these weeks go these days? You know, as a business executive in a high-paced world, or, you know, I'm sure a lot of you are a young woman making it on your own in the city working at a fashion magazine. That's not a fashion magazine. That's a magazine called Fashion. Because that's how they do it on shows. Swear to God. If there's one single lady out there working for some kind of high-class magazine while also negotiating a love life in New York, I'll fucking shoot myself in shock. So the other night, I'm laying in bed, and my bed's right near the window, okay? The windows are closed because it's the dead of goddamn winter. One of the more harsh winters that we've ever experienced in our time. Those of you who don't believe in climate change might be completely right. This could just be a thing that's happening. I don't know. I'm not Al Gorman. I'm just a man. I'm not a climatologist. I'm just a man who had a woman shouting into his window. This is not the kind of shouting into the window that you hope for, you know, where it's, oh, I'll tap and shout on your I'll tap on your window. And that means let's come out and be in love. Nor was it, I'll shout in your window because, you know, the kind of love that you're going to get is not a woman tapping gently on your window to come and be with you. It's a drunk, crazy person shouting through the window, but at least that's still a form of love. That's appropriate for where your lifestyle's going at this point. No, this was just a complete stranger who, I don't know, 2 or 3 in the morning was wasted, standing outside my window. She decided to brush up against the building and kind of negotiate this huge pine tree that's right there. Or, you know, some kind of evergreen. Who knows what kind of tree it is? Do I look like an arborist? No, I don't. You know why? I have a nice body. It would blow your mind. Arborists do not. Because they spend all their time learning about something of value that will stick with them when their bodies are gone. Idiots. She's brushing up against this tree-like object. Because this is not a walking path. I have seen a cat walk through this path. So, you know, it's possible. You can. One can walk through this path. But it's really more of a cat thing than a drunk woman thing. And she's just shouting in the window. Classic drunk. I had the best time. She was apparently had a very good time. And then a sound that I'm pretty sure was a woman urinating on the side of the building, perhaps on the ground, hard to tell. Now, I thought maybe she was sort of leaned against. I don't know what the preferential position is to pee as a woman out on the streets in sub-zero temperature. No bathroom. I guess, though, if I had to do it, if I was born tomorrow with a vagina and also a drunk moron, I would probably, you know how they would punish you where you sit with your back against the wall and your legs, like there's an invisible chair there, but there's no chair. This is a lot of punishments in school. Yeah, just take away the thing that's usually there and make it look like it's there. Pride, class, dignity, etc. And chairs. So she's, I would imagine she was possibly doing that position, sort of squatting and then just spraying her urine all over. This may or may not be what's attracting the cats. I don't know. I don't know if cats pee on things expecting just other cats to pee or no one else to pee, or if it's just a, hey, I'll pee here, you pee here, let's just all pee here and then see what each other's pee is doing. It makes no sense. So anyway, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. So woman drunkenly shout, you know, I was thinking, is the window open? Could the window be open right now? Because I can hear every word she's saying, but it was just because she was real drunk and she must have been immediately outside my window, facing the window, yelling into it. So if anyone did want to come and do the love confession, hey, let's run away together on a motorcycle, I guess I would probably ride on the back of a motorcycle. So if you wanted to do that, you can. That's one advantage of this new place. Just come to my window. Mine's on the corner that faces the drunk girl urine zone. So if you come at night, just look for a drunk girl peeing like crazy. But I don't know. Good on her, I guess. I mean, the one good thing, she did manage to pee outside. She did it. I don't know how to address complaints anymore of like, it's so easy for guys. Because she seemed to have no problem. Her cell phone conversation didn't halt for a second. She didn't say she was peeing. But I suspect she was peeing. So welcome from my neighborhood. I did meet a neighbor. So the elevator is right outside my door. Disadvantage of this apartment is that... So the side door is right here. But it's the door that goes to the parking lot, which means literally everyone who comes in walks right past my door. It's like being in a hotel and having your room right next to the main floor elevator, so everyone goes past it, which I don't think will normally be a problem, except when it snows, everybody stomps their feet. And then you might not notice this, but it seems that most people choose to stomp their feet once the snow has subsided, just as a habit. They get in the habit of coming in the door and stomp their little feet. So I'm unlocking my door, and this woman is standing waiting for the elevator, this dope. And she says, oh, you live right there, huh? And I said, yeah, I do. She said, oh, I don't think I'd want to live there, right next to the door. Is it loud? And I said, sometimes, yeah, you know, people are stomping, that's probably the loudest. It's like, yeah, I wouldn't want to live there. And then just gets in the elevator and leaves. It's very nice. Very nice to meet her. You know where I wouldn't want to live is in her idiot head. Behind those fucking squinty, deep set in eyes. Who just think, well, I'm going to meet a neighbor. And rather than saying, hi, I don't know what her name was. Probably Ursula. Hi, I'm Ursula. How are you? Nice to meet you. Instead, she says, probably criticize your living situation. By the way, I know the building you live in. We have the same apartment, just in a different location. I know you're not doing well. I know that your life is not put together. So why are we, you know, maybe it helps. Maybe for her it's good. Because she can say, okay, you know what? There is a worse place. And it's living with me. But really what she didn't know is the worst part of living in this apartment is that I live here. So whether you lived here with me or you are me, you still have to live with me. Think about that. Think about that in your nightmares. I did have a dream last night. I know this is a famous thing where no one likes to talk about their dreams, but I have a dream problem that I would like to discuss. And if anyone's listening who's a dream interpreter, interprets dreams like foreign languages of fucking crazy shit. I'd like to know what this means. In my life, I've had one dream that I would call a sex dream. And it was when I was too young. I was prepubescent. I don't know, 10. I had a sort of sex dream, which is inexplicable because I didn't really know any of the mechanics of having sex. But I knew that it was like a front hug and there was nudity. Now, since then, I've never had what I would call a sex dream. I've had many dreams that are heading down that road, heading down the old sex highway, Route 69. I never 69'd anybody in a dream either. But here's why. Here's what happens every time. Regardless of whether or not I'm in a relationship, I will be having a dream and it's getting to be sexy time with perhaps someone I know, or it's just a completely, I couldn't pick that person out of a lineup. Don't even know if they had a face. I don't know if they had a head or even a complete body. I don't really, it's all fuzzy world. But here's what happens. We're about to get towards the sexy time, however that may be happening. And in my dream, I think to myself, oh, I can't do this. This would be cheating on my girlfriend. Now, here's what's unfair about that. A, even when I have a girlfriend, you can have the sex dreams, right? That should be allowed. I couldn't really be blamed for having sex dreams. It's like if I had a dream of a crime. The crime's not my fault. But I still have, in dream, Pete is still thinking, oh, shit, I can't do this. I'm not that kind of man. I'm not a cheating man. So that's the normal one. That's normally what has prevented the sex dreams. And then I kind of slow down and then usually wake up and think, well, there we go. Yeah, you've been so on fire in terms of sex life. It's fine to just put one off. It's not like one would be your sex for the year that would make up for whatever. So here's last night's was a variation on that same theme. I was with this girl. Now, this was a girl that I knew vaguely, you know, growing up in school, but she was an adult in there, but I haven't seen her in fucking at least 20 years. She was a grown up and we were driving somewhere. And yeah, so things were getting towards sexy time, as they do in these dreams. She pulls over. We're in a Mini Cooper that flattens out the seat to make a lay down make out zone. I'm thinking, all right, this is fine. You know, I am like myself in my dreams in that I'm not a picky man. I'm not going to say, oh, Jesus Christ, the Mini Cooper with the seats down, it's not a lot of space. Thinking, hey, listen, we'll figure it out. Throw the fucking seat down or not. I'll make it work. This is fine. You know, you get more picky when you have more options, right? I can imagine that if I was married, I would be saying things like, listen, I'm not really going to have sex on the floor or out in a car, something like that's really, those days are past me. Not because I don't find you attractive, I thought part of the deal was I wouldn't have to do those things anymore. I mean, part of me would want to, I suppose, but more of me would not want to be, oh man, we gotta stop at this fucking stuck at the top of a Ferris wheel, so we banged, or we got locked in an outhouse and we just banged. I'm sure people have banged in an outhouse, but my God, that even for me, if someone told me, interesting hypothetical, man of 30, and you know, you're going to live to a healthy 65, you can either have tomorrow, you can have sex in an outhouse, or never again. I would probably take never again over one time of sex in an outhouse. Now, maybe if it was every year sex in the outhouse, I don't know, maybe you could train yourself to to be into that somehow. Watch porno that is outhouse related. I'm sure that exists, right? Just spend time in an outhouse. Maybe I could just get one that's not used or anything, a brand new one off the line. They can't cost that much. And just put it in my apartment. And that's where I do my masturbatoriums. And then I become accustomed to it. But see, this is what I'm saying. This is a lot of work, basically, to facilitate one time a year sex. Although at the same time, it's not a lot more work than probably the average person puts into their sex life over the course of a year. Training, getting ready. Probably what I should do is just go for the once a year and invest in some soldering iron and just burn the inside of my nose so I can't smell anymore. And pull out my eyes. So really the question is, would you give up your sight and your smell for sex one time a year? And apparently my answer is yes, although when I say it that way, it can't be yes. It just can't be, can it? Would you be Johnny Got His Gun, Metallica 1 video, just to have sex once a year? I mean, good God, that's terrible. So anyway, in the dream, she pulls over Mini Cooper, we're going to have the sex. Now, rather than saying I have a girlfriend or something like that in this dream, I took it one step further. I took it to this imaginary land where I'm already in an imaginary land, and I've apparently created an entire imaginary reality where I don't have a wife or a girlfriend, but I do have someone who I'm sort of thinking that I might want to start a relationship with in this land. So as the sexy time begins, I start thinking to myself, is this what you really want? Is this the person you want? Or is it this other imaginary, who doesn't exist person that you really want? And I kind of brushed off the sexy time. I was like, oh, we better get going, huh? Because I didn't want to get too far and then have to break this woman's heart in my dream. So the moral of this story is that I will never be able to have a sex dream. I need to take... People say you take that Ambien and you have crazy dreams. That sounds fine to me. Because if crazy means maybe I would get to have one sex dream, is that a lot? If someone could invent the drug that made you have sex dreams, that would probably be the most popular drug of all time. I would buy that. It would change the world. It would change the world of betting. You would have different requirements for sure. I could not be sleeping in cloth anymore if I was going to be having sex dreams all night every night. Actually, scratch that. Just wear a condom. It'd be fine. Condom underpants. A diaper. Oh. Diaper full of cum. Any parents out there ever pulled a diaper off your kid and it's just full of cum? I feel like I'd contact the pediatrician, and I feel like they would immediately be out of their depth. Hi, doctor. Doctor Pooh Bear? I don't know what they call themselves. After beloved childhood character, you know, probably like Dr. Goldstein. Dr. Goldstein. I took my diaper off my son this morning. It was completely filled with cum. His cum. Well, all right. Good for him. How does he seem? Tired? Normal? Hungry? You know, kind of just rolled over and went to sleep in his own diaper filled with cum. Ugh. It was just soaked, just saturated. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, that's all I wanted. I just want to have a sex dream. If anyone knows, if anyone's got any techniques to have a sex dream that I can do easily and don't involve any actual work or anything spiritual or mystical, I'm not into that. But if you got something besides anything that works, let's discuss it. I ate a bologna sandwich the other day, not by my own choice. So here's what happened. At work, we got this big sandwich. It's not important why. We had this big sandwich, and I didn't eat any of it until later that evening, and they were cut up into large pieces in the fridge. So I take one of these big chunks of sandwich. I'm eating it. It's from Subway. I hate Subway. We all know that I hate Subway, right? It's just it's the worst place. Their food's not made out of food. Somehow they combine food items in such a way that it creates a large non-food item. I don't know. Antimatter and matter collide. You know, matter and matter combine to make antimatter. I don't know how. I'm not Reed Richards, Dr. Mr. Fantastic. I'm just a man with a microphone and a goddamn bologna sandwich. If I was a doctor, do you think I thought 30 years old, librarian, master's degree, I thought my bologna days were behind me. I really did. Especially as you age and you discover, it's not like bologna is 1 cent and turkey is $1 million. Okay, turkey is at least a meat that I've heard of. That's an animal, right? Ham, that's an animal. That's an animal I know. Bologna is not an animal. Nor does it seem to say, oh, okay, bacon, that's from a pig. You're not going to have a chimpanzee anus in bacon. You would know. Say, why is there an anus on this slice of bacon? There are the normal number of slices of bacon, minus one, and then there's just this round circular anus in the package. That's not going to happen. Bologna, you don't know. Everyone talking about that pink slime a while ago, that was bologna, right? That looked a lot like bologna, just not in circles. Instead of little circles, it was in a liquid. It hadn't been put into discs yet. I mean, does bologna even come as a slab, or is it just circles? Is it found as circles, created in circle form? Is there a whole bologna that you can slice it off of, or is it just always circles? And even if it was something you could slice slices off of, why would you bother? I mean, like if you could get a giant hot dog mound and you drill through it with like a hole saw to make hot dogs. Oh my God, they're so much better that way. Fresh off the slab there. Okay. I'm eating this sandwich. And as much as I hate Subway, I did not think that you could get bologna from Subway. I didn't think that was an option. I didn't think that existed on human earth. I thought that was even beneath them. I thought even Subway had gone far enough as to say, okay, we got turkey, it's horrible. We have ham, it's horrible. We have all kinds of crazy chicken chunks and bizarre, you know, Philly cheesesteaks that I don't even know. That's Arby's cast off. We run our finger along the edge of the vat where they cook the Arby's stuff, and that's our Philly cheesesteak. And you'd think that would be at least horrible for you and flavorful, but you would be wrong. But we're not going to sink to the level of bologna. Who's going to come in here with all the available options and say, I'll have bologna? One fucking old man who says, I'll have bologna and a hot coffee, and I sure hope that coffee is at least 6 hours old. Coffee. Subway start fucking with breakfast. Anyway, forget it. There's too much to say about Subway. But, so I'm eating this sandwich. I didn't think that bologna was a sandwich option. So I thought, man, this is the worst ham sandwich I've ever had in my life. This ham is cold and clammy. It's like when I shake someone's hand for the first time because I'm very intimidatable. Shaking their hand thinking, oh, Christ. Well, this guy's better than me. Add him to the list. So I'm eating it, and then I decide, I think this might be bologna. It's been a very long time. I couldn't tell you the last time I ate bologna on purpose. I mean, it's possible I've had it by accident, but if I had to guess the last time I ate bologna, probably elementary school. Here was how bologna worked at my house. My mom never bought bologna because she's a sane human. My dad would buy Oscar Mayer bologna, throw it in the fridge. Nobody ate it. It would go bad. And he would open the package and just put the entire package in the cat bowl. The cat would eat the entire thing, vomit. My dad would complain about how he keeps buying bologna and no one's eating it. And if no one's going to eat bologna, he's just going to stop buying it. Which he said in a way that it was a threat. But really, his threat was sane human behavior. If no one eats this bologna, I'm not going to buy it anymore. Okay. Yeah, that's... I think that would be a good read of the situation. People are not eating this bologna. I can't justify buying it anymore. So his way of looking at that was, man, you guys better start eating this bologna because I can't not buy it. That's not an option. That's clearly not a solution there. I have to buy it. So let's work on this together. No, just stop buying it, dum-dum. This is a doctor, by the way. This is a solution. So, but you know, he could buy it and just turn it into cat vomit. So that's probably the last time I had bologna, was when I was living with him, which was middle school. Eating this sandwich, pretty sure it's bologna. I open it up and think, I don't know, is this some kind of crazy ham or something? What's going on? Because as far as Subway goes, I really don't have a limit where I think, okay, this is the lower limit of Subway. They've hit rock bottom. Every time I think they hit rock bottom, they start having breakfast food. Or they say, we have a spicy buffalo wing sandwich. Which I say, well, that's not possible. You cannot eat buffalo wings on a sandwich. That doesn't work. And I promise you, there's not one bone leaving that Subway. That's how you know a sandwich shop is complete bullshit. If they've never thrown away a bone in 20 years of business, how could they be making any sort of meats? So I look through the sandwich. I investigate the sandwich and open it. And tucked underneath several layers of bologna is one tissue paper thin slice of ham. So at that point, side by side, it's like watching regular TV in HD. I cannot tell them apart, but if I'm looking at them side by side, I sure as hell can. I guess I don't eat enough ham, or I do, and I'm just not on the lookout for being tricked by bologna, but that has come to an end, my friend. My bologna vigilance is at a new height. I've never been this on the lookout for bologna before, and I hope it will continue. I see the one slice of ham, and so then immediately I can tell, okay, this is a bologna sandwich with a slice of ham. What the fuck's going on? So I Google. Turns out there's a sandwich at Subway called the Cold Cut Combo. Now, their cold cut options include every kind of meat on the planet. If there's a kind of meat that's existed, Subway could have it. So what three do they choose? Turkey. All right, that's probably their most popular cold cut, right? People like a nice turkey sandwich. Ham, again, makes sense. And bologna. Bologna is the other one that goes in there. Not roast beef. Not some kind of chicken disc. Not some kind of weird square made out of salami squares or triangles or rhombi. A nice pentagon shaped out of something? No. Bologna. So now I've discovered that Subway makes a bologna sandwich, which still blows my mind. Now I have to believe that this is accurate, because here are the two options. Either Subway does have bologna somewhere in there, somewhere in the back. When they're making a cold cut combo, they just say, let me take this sandwich in the back real quick. They take it in the bathroom, balance it on their thighs, and throw the bologna on there when no one's looking. Either that's what happened, or the guy who bought the sandwich bought a sandwich, took all the other meats out, maybe turkey, most of the ham, and replaced it with bologna. Now, I can't believe that that happened because I need to live in a world that I can understand. Okay, I have to believe that Subway has bologna because if the only other explanation is a guy put bologna in a party sub, I cannot reconcile that reality. I cannot continue to move on in a world where someone bought a party sub and refilled it with bologna. That's not something my brain, I will die. I'll just pass out thinking about it and never wake up. So Subway has bologna. That's the short way of saying it. Apparently Subway has bologna. The big announcement, big discovery. Just in case you thought that Subway was an acceptable eating area, now you know that it's not. Now you know. So, other non-acceptable areas. So, the night I go to do laundry, my new apartment. I was happy with the laundry situation here because they had the front load washing machine, which I believe is superior. Now, I hadn't been real impressed with the dryers because it seems like one of them works. One of them sort of works. One of them spins. And maybe lightly misting the clothes with more water as it goes. I don't know. I can't prove that without just standing there and watching, which I'm not going to do. But I do suspect it. So I go to use the laundry facilities here. And I open one of the washers and put my clothes in. And then I go look at one of the other washers. There's three machines. Every time I've gone in, I've never actually seen clothes in them. So if all three are empty, I'll use two. What the fuck? So I go to open the second one. Liquid all over the bottom. Not liquid, fluid. I'm calling this fluid. And I'll tell you why. I open up the other washer, also fluid. This is not a liquid, but a fluid. And here's why. Liquids should not smell the way that that smelled. That's a fluid. Urine, I consider a fluid. Old rendered fat that's been left in the sun to transform into a broken down fluid, I consider a fluid. Anything that produces that level of odor, I'm putting in the fluid family. Welcome to the fluid family. We're horrible. I hope you hate it. So based on that, I think, all right, I can't put my clothes in there. I was already iffy. I'm just thinking, and the water is this sort of gray, cloudy water. And then the smelling it was really what pushed me over the edge. Because I thought, there's got to be a reason someone took their clothes out, right? And left this water in there. Why is there just water in there? That shouldn't be. And the quarters didn't work on the one machine that didn't have fluid in it. Just wouldn't take orders. So I said, all right, I guess I'm going to the laundromat. So back to my 24-hour laundromat. I went on Thursday night thinking, all right, this will be perfect. I get off work at 9 and drive out there, do my laundry, get back, and go to goddamn bed. And my laundry done before the weekend, so I don't have to do that over the weekend. I can spend my weekend doing weekend shit, like not doing laundry. Is one of my favorite weekend activities. I go out there. It's a horrible place, the laundromat. It really is. I know I've talked about this before, but it's worse than each time is worse than the last and worse than the next. Every time in there is the worst time. Every moment in there is the worst moment of your life. So this time, I had some extra, you know it's bad at the laundromat. You got this laundromat, you got chairs, a lot of white noise, there's a couch, there's a TV, there's vending machines, video games. You know it's bad because probably 50% of the people who do their laundry there elect to wait and just sit in their car, not moving anywhere, car facing towards the laundromat. They just figure, fuck it. I'd rather sit in my car, engine not even running, just sitting there in silence, waiting for an assault. I'll just sit here and be outside as opposed to being in your environment. Can you imagine any other place where that happens? Is there any such thing as, this is a restaurant where you come in and sit down, but I'm just going to take my food out to my car and eat it in the car while I sob quietly. I'm the only person who does that, and I only do it because I don't want to bother other people with the sobbing. And then I can wrap it up. If I can just be in the car and sob during my lonely lunches, then I can wrap it up quickly and get back to work. If I'm trying to hold it back to finish a fucking burrito, that's tough. That's tough. And then it's, hard to get it initiated once I'm back in the car and finished up by the time I get back to work. It's very difficult. But I'm the only one who's supposed to be doing that in a restaurant situation. Or a bowling alley. I mean, do people wait in the car between their bowls? All right, we got 10 bowlers, so I'm going to bowl. Go sit in my car outside. No radio. Just fucking around on my phone for whatever. Wait till everyone bowls, and then just send me a text. I'll come back in and bowl again. And we're not talking about, this is a Range Rover with a TV and a hot tub in it. These people are at the laundromat. If you had a Range Rover with a hot tub in it, you wouldn't be at the laundromat because you'd say, fuck it, let's just turn this hot tub into a laundry facility in my Range Rover. I know that's crazy, but I've obviously made a lot of strange decisions. Yeah, I've got a Range Rover and no laundry capability. I'm obviously making bad choices across the board. So this one may be bad, but at least it's from a good place. I'm doing my laundry. No fluids in the washer. Using the deadly industrial washer that when it goes on the spin cycle to dry. I always think, man, where did this... I feel like the door is just going to come flying off like a sewer lid blows off in a movie. Goes flying off and it's just going to kill me. I'm thinking, my God, I don't want to die from a shitty washer doing my laundry. And then that's in the paper, I would have to crawl across the street to Papa John's pizza or something. So they would think, oh man, he died just trying to get a pizza. Rather than, well, he died doing laundromat laundry, so what's he worth, really? This guy died, but that's clearly not a person of value. Doesn't even have his own laundry abilities. Give me a break. So then I go to the dryer, and I'm loading everything in the dryer. And sometimes you'll see little detritus left behind. That's a really fancy word for old pens and what turned out to be a tampon. Yes, a lady tampon crammed in. The dryer has this sort of mesh with these holes in it, and it was almost pushed into the hole. And I didn't even know what it was until I was holding it in my hand. Because it was cottony. But you know how a piece of paper will get in your pocket? You got a piece of notebook paper, you wash your pants, it turns into this weird little hard cloud in your pocket. I thought that's what it was, something like that. Oh no, friends. This was a tampon, which I knew because it had the string attached, the little teabag string, the retrieval leash, was still attached to the tampon. I'm just saying, all right, well, I'm already touching it, so I guess I'll throw it away. What the hell? Throw it away. Debate briefly about, can I dry my clothes in there? And then I say, I don't know, man. This doesn't appear to be used. Probably people have tampons in their pocket and stuff, right? Or their purse or something. I don't know. Probably don't wash a purse. I'm rationalizing here, so I'm just trying to make any excuse for the convenience of just drying my goddamn clothes and going home. This is why my life is hell. All right? This sums it all up. All I want to do is clean my clothes. I'm trying to do the right thing. And then I just have an encounter with a tampon. Unexpected, unwarranted. And so put my clothes in there and say, well, I better go wash my hands, right? Couldn't hurt. Couldn't hurt. So everything's drying. I go in the bathroom. They have the worst bathroom you've ever seen in your life. lights don't really work in there, and that's probably for the best because my nose still works in there. Actually, this would be worse than an outhouse. They'd say, all right, you can have sex in the laundromat bathroom once a year. Or an outhouse, I'd say, oh, God, well, at least the outhouse, at least it's a festive color usually, nice bright blue or something with the sun coming through. Make lemons out of lemonade there. It's usually warm, so if my sex time in the outhouse is in the winter, at least that would be pleasant, I guess. I don't know. It has a toilet lid. That would be an improvement. Doesn't have a urinal in it. That would be another start. So I'm in there, and that's another thing. If your bathroom, the best feature of it is that it's fairly dark. This, is, I think, is something that some restaurants do and gas stations. They just say, yeah, maybe we could put up like some Christmas lights in here or something. Mood lighting or a dimmer. Can we install a dimmer in the bathroom? I don't want to make it romantic, just less like a cesspool of hell, if that's possible. So I'm in the cesspool of hell, just stinks, and wash my hands. And then, of course, because of some reason, if I'm standing near a toilet, I'll just have to go. So I go, I walk over, I'm using the urinal, look down in there. That's when I find tampon number two. Just saturated, bloated in the urinal. Not the most likely place that you would find a tampon, right? In the urinal. I mean, that stands to, I don't know, something about that seems very unwholesome to me. Something has gone awry if there's a tampon just hanging out in the urinal. Why? How? How would that be a convenient spot to dispose of a tampon? If anyone would like to donate a year of laundry service to this show, that would be great. This is what I'm getting at. We're doing our first ever pledge drive for Make It So I Never Have to Go to the Fucking Laundromat Again. If we can raising just pennies a day means this poor boy will have the laundry clean clothes he needs and won't catch, I don't even know, a bloodborne pathogen will not enter his body. You know, every time I go there, that's really all I'm looking for. Let's avoid any kind of louse, number one. Let's avoid getting any kind of disease and getting any kind of murder. I'd like to not catch murdered at the laundromat. These are the three I'm really shooting for. And so far, I don't know that I've been able to avoid any of those. I guess I haven't been murdered yet. But I could be dying slowly, for all I know. Someone could have put some kind of poisons in there. Had a real good gym day the other day. Apparently it was at Talk to Pete at the Gym Day. It's been real crowded. I feel like we got a reprieve. Usually it's very busy in January and February because the new year happens and everyone says, now's going to be my time. I'm tired of living the way that I am. I promote loving your body. The reason being, then you won't be annoying at the gymnasium, which is where I like to be. And if you're not there, that would be great. So love the skin that you're in, no matter what that looks like, and don't change it. Don't ever change. You're perfect. You're beautiful to me when you're not in my areas. So we got a reprieve because it's been bitter cold. And I think that just keeps people cannot leave their homes. It's just so much harder to leave the home. But they're out now. We got it and now it's gone. Now we're back into hell zone. The night shift. The Langoliers territory. And it was just everyone feels like talking to people. Something about my face I messed up because I looked friendly and talkative. And I go over to take my sweatshirt off, wearing a shirt underneath, and take a sweater off. Some other guy is standing over there, and he just says, man, Todd in here, huh? I'm like, yeah. What do you say to that? taking off my sweatshirt. He says, man, it's hot in here. It's not like we had a conversation or knew each other. It's not a requirement. If he'd seen me across the way, would he have come running over to add that gem of knowledge to my brain? Hey, isn't it hot in here? Yeah. Clearly, I think it's hot in here. What do you think? Do you think I'm some kind of reverse human and I'm saying, oh, it's cold, I'm going to take off this sweatshirt? I read that's the best way to keep your body heat. I'm going to actually get in a sleeping bag so you don't want to get in all this stuff because the heat just leaks out and your body keeps making heat and you'll die. I got my exercise sleeping bag ready to go. Then there's this old man there. Seen him naked many times. Far too much. It's not about the number of times I've seen him naked. It's about the slow walk he makes across the gym naked. It's about the holding himself up and suspending him from the drying machine. You know, using his old man arms to hold himself up off the ground, feet off the ground, crotch just pressed right into this machine, 100% naked. What the fuck? Is that really necessary? You couldn't do that after your dress? That would just ruin it for him. So I'm wearing a t-shirt, and he comes up to me like he's going to talk to me, take my headphones out, and he says, Jason Isbell in the 400 unit. And I'm just stunned. What do you say to that? He decided, seeing me wearing a shirt, that he would stop me from whatever I was doing, not related to him whatsoever. And I would take out my headphones and he would just read the shirt I was wearing aloud to me. What did he think I was going to say? Oh, what the fuck is this? I didn't even know I was wearing this. Or, yeah, that's my son, Jason Isbell in the 400 unit. What the fuck? What the fuck? He said, I told him it was a band, and he said, I will have to watch them on YouTube. Great. That would be perfect. I'm just in a terrible mood, huh? Is anything going to improve Pete's life? We'll see. Got a line on a couch, so we'll see if that comes in. That will be a whole to-do, I'm sure. But maybe Pete's life is about to get better. I feel like I'm poised for greatness, right? Don't you guys feel that way when you listen to this? That I'm right on the edge of, right on the cusp of something great happening, of a mind-blowing event that's going to event horizon this entire life and change it all for the best. I'm pretty sure that's where it's all headed for all of us, for you, for me, and everyone we know, as that movie would put it. But until that happens, I guess I'll just have ladies peeing outside my window, tampons in the dryer, fluids in the other washing machines, terrible bologna sandwiches. I've really lived the life in the last week or so, the life of complete scumbag. No redeeming factor in there of, oh, that's nice. That was pleasant. You know, he wore a tie. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's all just been disastrous. It's all just been Pete of the streets living a life of a guy who digs through the dump to find the things that he wants in his life. And on that note, I will leave you again this week. Aren't you glad that we went over all this? Aren't you glad you listened to this whole thing? Just so you could hear about the trajectory. Let's call it a trajectory, except is trajectory count if it's still shooting into the ground and exploding as opposed to rocketing through the skies? I feel like that's a Cape Canaveral thing, a trajectory, but I don't know. I suppose a trajectory could still be bad. Maybe if you shot it from... Okay. Well, before I just embarrass myself inventing science ideas, I'm going to sign off. But thank you all for listening. Hope you had an enjoyable ride through the deep, dark underworld of our scummiest society. And I'll see you next time.
carry us distances we don't care to walk. What doesn't matter?